You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm your host, Yvette Hampton. Thank you for joining Abby and I for part two of our conversation with Andrew Pudua. If you haven't yet listened to part one, you'll want to go back and listen. You'll definitely be encouraged. Now on to part two. So let me ask then, Andrew, for you to kind of piggyback on that, because we talk a lot about that on the podcast. How do we teach our kids to learn? Because we want them to love learning and we want to teach them how to learn. How do you go about doing that?
Well, I think Abby hit that right on, which is real world application. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, John Taylor Gatto, mm-hmm. who wrote Underground History of American Education, Dumbing Us Down, yeah. Weapons of Mass Instruction. He was very, very influential on my thinking. He made a statement that I just thought is so true. Like every parent of every teenager knows this is true. And that is that he taught eighth grade in Brooklyn, New York, right? And he said this, he said, what every 13-year-old in the world wants more than anything else is real, honest to God, meaningful life and death level responsibility for something. And that is exactly what schools contrive to prevent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when he got his Teacher of the Year, third Teacher of the Year award, he gave a speech wherein he said, only way I'd be Teacher of the Year is by breaking every rule in your book. I've done not just things that are against school policy. I've done things that are actually illegal, like sneak kids out of school during the middle of the day so they could go have meaningful experiences. And so I think what we see is that when there's those two things, real world application, mm-hmm. and then responsibility, which means what? Consequences, mm-hmm. right? You have a responsibility, and when you fail that, there's a consequence. Mm-hmm. So your son who's building this large community in the backyard. Boxville or a rock of Boxville.
Yes.
You know, there's consequences when you don't measure and cut the right way. Mm-hmm. Those aren't theoretical. That's not a word problem in a book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is, I just, lost a lot of time and material and now I have to redo it. So maybe I should think more. So, right. How to think. So It's kind of that problem solving mm-hmm. opportunity. Can I share with you a charming example from my son?
Yes, absolutely.
Yvette, because I've talked with about this before. My son, he's number six of my seven children. He's the only boy. And when he was about 11 years old, I wanted him to have an opportunity to kind of start a little business. And he was very into swords, as many boys that age are. And so we came up with the idea of starting Christopher's Sword Shop. And we were going to buy and sell swords. And we found a marvelous supplier, actually a homeschool family that had manufactured these Tennessee oak swords, just beautiful. And then we found some other swords and we're buying. And then I would take him to a homeschool convention where I could get a table pretty cheap. And then he would be able to lay out his swords and talk to all the moms and run his little business. And I was pretty much hands off. Well, I was trying to teach him that when you buy and sell, you want to sell for approximately twice what you buy it for, so that you can cover your postage and your loss and make some money for your time. And so you have to decide the price, right? So we had this one very cool dagger, I have to say. I would have wanted to buy one, even if I was older than a kid. And the cost was $16. And so he set the price at $32. Now, this is the most dyslexic child I have ever met. He didn't read a book till he was 12 years old. Math was continuously a problem for him because he would look at one thing but see something else. So anyway, business applications. So we're up in Alaska. He's got 10 of these things. He sells them all, right? And then at the end of the day, he's counting up the money. He goes, I don't get it. I'm like $100 short. And I said, well, I don't know. I wasn't with you. Did you lose some money or did someone give you a check? Or no, I got it all right here. And then he looks at the price. And he realizes that he had sold all of these daggers for $23 instead of $32. And then he said, oh, this dyslexia has got me again.
Oh, no.
And then he made probably the smartest decision. He goes, well, next time I'm going to change the price to 33.
Brilliant.
That's so smart.
That is a thinker. That's incredible. And if that would have been a word story in a problem and he got it wrong, he would have never really cared. It would have never really mattered because I'll just fix it. But because it was a real life application, you can guarantee he's never going to make that mistake again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
33. Yeah. That's brilliant.
I think one of the, you know, one of the best things about being self-employed and having our own business is that all of my children got to work in this business.
Yep. Mm.
And in the early days, before I had employees, they were it. Mm-hmm. And I would walk in and say, okay, no more homeschool today. You all come out to the office and put books together because I got an order we got to get out.
Yep.
And they're like, hey, Dad needs us.
Yeah.
And it was almost a little sad when my younger children were at the age of being most helpful. IEW had got big enough that they weren't as, I don't know, vitally important as they were in the early days. But I would say all of them are very entrepreneurial in their thinking and their action. And they've always got ideas cooking around and very economical. A couple of my adult girls who have children, they're just so economical in the romantic sense. Like, we can figure out how to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. There is so many benefits to allowing our kids to learn even through hard circumstances and having them figure out how to just ask questions. You know, not too long ago, I was talking to a friend of ours who owns a fast food restaurant, and she was saying how hard it is for her to find good employees. Like, almost impossible. I mean, she said it is just the most difficult thing. She never thought it would be so hard, but it's because these people come into her and basically they act as if she owes them something. You know, she's almost working for them. And she said they don't know how to think for themselves. They don't know how to take initiative to figure out what needs to be done. And she said when she was telling me the story about when she first before she owned her own restaurant, she had worked for this fast food chain in a different state. And she said, I wanted to know everything there was to know about this business. And so she said, I would ask questions all the time to the manager. And she said, I mean, everything. She said, I would ask, why do we put the sauce here in this order? Why do we do this like this? Why do the napkins go here? Like, what is the purpose of this and the thought behind it? And sometimes there were good reasons and sometimes there were not good reasons. And so she would sometimes come up with a better way and say, you know, I think it might work better this way. While her manager took great notice of her, and she ended up, you know, buying into the business, and now she owns her own restaurant. But it's because she asked questions. She wanted to learn that trade. And we would look at fast food and go, well, it's just a fast food job, but it wasn't for her. For her, it was a learning process, and she knew she wanted to go further than just sitting at the cash register ordering burgers for people. And so I love that story of her because she really did exactly that and what it is that we're trying to teach our kids to do. And we can teach them that in the home. We can teach them, why do we load the dishwasher this way? Mm-hmm. Can you think of a better way that we could load it? Maybe fit more dishes in, because, you know, you want to fit as many dishes in as you can. But there are so many opportunities that we can give to our children day in and day out that will help them think through stuff instead of just feeding the information to them and telling them, this is how you do it. This is how you think. This is just how it is because I say so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what schools successfully teach people.
Right.
Is, you know, don't ask too many questions. We ask the questions, you give the answers.
Yes.
And right. It's interesting if you go out and poll your entrepreneurs who've been successful, say, you know, your mid-range company founders in the last 20, 30 years, you often find the founders were C students in school. They're daydreaming. It wasn't important to them. They were already asking questions that other people that they weren't given the answers for.
Sure.
And when they got into the real world, okay, let's pursue, let's continue. Who works for them?
All the A students
are going to do a very good job of doing exactly what they're told.
Yep. And those C students, I remember when I was in school, there was this brilliant, brilliant student. And he failed out of school because he had everything mastered that they were teaching and he wanted to jump ahead. He wanted to learn at his pace and they kept holding him back. I mean, no, you can't. Don't ask that question. We'll cover that next year. That's a question for next week. And he lost his mind and he quit school. And he's one of the most successful men I know now because nobody told him to stop asking questions. He started asking questions and he built an empire and it was just, it is brilliant. And that's the freedom we have as homeschool. And going back to what Yvette said is we have the time to do it because sometimes when we're going a million miles an hour, if we're not homeschooling and we're home with our kids, it's easier for me just to tell my kids how to do it how I say, make it happen. And if you can't do it, then I'm going to do it for you because I can get this done quicker.
Right.
But that is at the expense of our children learning and growing. And so as homeschool moms, we have the time to ask the questions. We have the time to allow them to fail and try again to succeed. So we need to use that time wisely and not just kind of come with the answers and do it for them. It's easier to clean their room than to let them clean it, but that's not the best way.
Right, right.
Yeah,
that's a hard thing to do too, Abby, because I know I find myself oftentimes like I want them to do it, but I know that I can do it better.
Totally, you know, and faster.
And faster.
Efficiency.
Right. And I'm like, that's not the way I would do it. Or, you know, it's taking too long for them to do it.
Right.
But we really are depriving them of the opportunity to learn and to grow when we just take it back.
And we need to be forward thinking.
That's right.
Working together as a family, side by side, that's something that kids just thrive on. They love that. But so many families, they just don't have the time. You know, dad works long hours, mom works long, everybody's tired. You know, they got to rush off to extracurricular, you know, then there's the weekend when you recover. And so, you know, I think that idea of, you know, saying, hey, what could we do here together? Can I mention, Yvette, a couple of resources?
Of course, absolutely. Yes.
So we sell a couple things. I'll mention then something that a friend of mine actually just interviewed him on my podcast. But the first thing we have is a little book called Lemonade to Leadership. And it's definitely written for the upper elementary age child, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, who has this idea, I want to start a business. I think almost all kids, if they are exposed to the idea at all, start to say, well, what could I do? And so this is a very convenient little book, and it is available. I'd say I've even known people who started like an entrepreneur club with homeschoolers or even kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So let's get together once a week, work on our business plans, help each other, ask questions and think this through. For older kids, there's a series called Micro Business for Teens. This is by Carol Topp. She's a CPA and has for dozens of years coached, a couple decades probably, she's coached homeschool teenagers into how to start a business. And so the planning, the preparing, even the accounting and the tax, she's a CPA. So, and then, so we sell those at IEW.com. Those are fairly inexpensive materials you could take a look at and get started. And then I have a new friend who has an organization called Christian Homeschool Entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And I think that's the website, Christian Homeschool Entrepreneurship, all one word, .com.
Okay.
And he's actually got a very extensive course, video course, that is available. And it's really directed at the student or the young adult or even an adult who said, hey, I'd like to get something going on the side. And his perspective, I think, is distinctly, why would we do this? To glorify God, to bring, you know, honor, to let God work through us and do more good in the world. And that orientation, I think, is so important because, you know, like anything, whether it's speech and debate or starting a business or, you know, being a student, if we say, I want to do this so I can be great, well, we're going to be misguided and disappointed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if we're successful, we'll be unsatisfied.
Yeah.
But if we can start off and say, I want to do this because I hear God calling me and I trust that he will help me, that's a completely different experience. And, you know, teenagers, I think, are in a sensitive period for that as well.
Yeah, that's so fantastic because I say it all the time on the podcast, but we always tell our girls and everyone, you know, God made you on purpose and for a purpose, and he made them with a specific bent, with a passion for something. And when we can take what God has made us to do and use it for his glory, there's no better thing. I was talking to someone recently and she was like, you know, yeah, my job's okay. You know, I don't think anyone ever really loves their job, but we just, you know, you just go to work and you do your thing. I'm like, I don't want to live my life that way. You know, and that's necessary sometimes, I guess, for people, but I want to live my life in a way that I know that I'm doing what God's called me to do. Abby and I, actually this morning, we were talking on the phone and just saying, you know, sometimes we don't want to do the things that God's called us to because it's just hard. It's hard and it's exhausting. And
you know, just let the cat out of the bag. We struggle with it too. It's true. We struggle.
We do. You know, there are sometimes other things I would rather be doing. You know, there are times when I'd rather just plop down and eat ice cream and watch my favorite movie than to sit and do math with my kids, you know, or do other things. But, and sometimes that's okay to do. But you know what? God has created us for something so much bigger than ourselves and to have a great impact in this kingdom. And so that's what I love about this, Andrew, is that you're saying, you know, we can go out, we can become who God created us to be. We can use this freedomship, education and entrepreneurial. See, I can't say that word. Entrepreneurial. Entrepreneurial mindset to really impact the kingdom of God. And just to make a difference in the lives of others. And it starts at home with our children. It starts with them. You know, the greatest thing you said earlier, you know, your daughter said, just a homeschool mom. There is not just a homeschool mom. You know, we are here training up the leaders of tomorrow and training up disciples for the Lord. And so, and there's no better way to do that than to have them home with us and be able to do this. So I so much appreciate your message, Andrew. You are such an encouragement and a blessing to my family and to so many. So thank you so much for all that you do. And we'll link to these different things in the show notes so that people can check them out. People can learn more about you at IEW.com, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
So Andrew did a session at the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. And if you are signed up for that, go back and listen to it. If you're not, you can still sign up and listen to that because it was powerful. Yes. It was encouraging. It was one of the top favorites. It was incredible. So if this 45 minutes wasn't enough of Mr. Poudois, you can get more there.
Yes, you can. Thank you, Abby. Yes, people can still sign up for Homegrown Generation at homegrowngeneration.com. There's so much good stuff on there. We have over 35 hours of just amazing homeschool content. And then, of course, we've got Schoolhouse Rocked, the movie. And we don't talk too much about this. I don't know why. I really need to let more people know. But we have what's called the Backstage Pass membership site through Schoolhouse Rocked. And on that, you can actually
get more Andrew.
You can get more Andrew. You can get more Heidi St. John, who's a good friend of Andrew's. You can get more of the other Andrew Kern. I know you guys are kind of known as the Andrews. There, Sarah McKenzie. I mean, there's just so much good stuff on there. And so you guys can really, it's a great way to help support production on the movie as we're working really hard to get this movie done. I think it's like, I don't know. I really need to look at the price, but it's like $6 or $7 a month. To have a membership to the Backstage Pass, and you get to have access to tons of videos and resources and behind the scenes filming for the movie, and really get to stay in the loop on what we're doing with the movie. So, yes, thank you, Abby, for that reminder. Mm-hmm. We have lots of Andrew Pudua all over Schoolhouse Rocked land.
Oh, Trinia says, my son who hates to write is finally writing thanks to IEW. Oh, I love it.
Yay.
That's awesome.
I see Jean or Jeannie wanted to know the two authors that I mentioned. The first one was Oliver DeMille, D-E-M-I-L-L-E. And then the second one was John Taylor Gatto, G-A-T-T-O. And their books are readily available. And I highly recommend Mr. Gatto's book, An Underground History of American Education. It's big and comprehensive, and a little depressing because it seems like, you know, the system is so overwhelming and so behemothic, and it's so entrenched that it's never going to change. But it really does give you an understanding of what is that system and how is it formed, you know, even us. And, you know, one of the side effects of what's going on in the world right now today is people are completely rethinking education.
Yes.
And that's very interesting. How necessary will it be for everyone to go back to the way things were if they get a little glimpse of kids doing it differently at home? So
yes, yeah, and we'll link to those in the show notes as well, so that you guys can have access to those. I saw Trinia's comment here, but I didn't get it. Says we need homeschool planet lesson plans.
So Homeschool Planet is a lesson planning thing. It's a subscription you sign up for, and it helps you keep track of everything you're doing.
Oh, okay.
And so we have a relationship with that organization giving IEW-based lesson plans.
Gotcha. Okay. So
they then integrate into a weekly schedule or whatever. I don't know entirely how it works, but we'll take a look at that, Trinia, and see if we can do a little more with Homeschool Planet. So
yes. Okay. I am familiar with that now. As you were saying that, I realized I do know what that is. It's basically like a spreadsheet schedule to help you, especially if you have multiple kids. I think this is what my friend Rachel uses. So if you've got multiple kids, you can kind of plug in their different subjects and figure out, you know, what they're doing, what day, and
they have relationship with different publishers that have curriculum. And so they're not giving you the curriculum. They're just saying, here's a schedule and here's lesson plans. And Rachel, it's true. I am working on a book called How to Learn, Tell, and Remember 100 Excellent Jokes. And it's going to be a combination of keyword outlines, oral practice, and memory technique, medieval memory techniques.
So technically, it's a life skill. You're saying that joke telling is a life skill. Is that
absolutely
what I'm hearing?
Yvette, you wanted to hear my new favorite joke.
Yeah, you said you had two. And we forgot to do that at the beginning. So bring them.
Okay, so the first one is, it's very safe. I mean, it sounds a little violent, but so there's this woodsman and he's out in the woods and he's about to chop into a tree and chop it down. And the tree says, stop, stop, don't cut me down. I'm a talking tree. And the woodsman says, yes, and you will dialogue.
Dialogue.
It took me a minute too, Abby.
Dialogue. Get it? D-I-A.
That's funny.
Okay. So here's another joke. It's a little bit crass, I suppose, but So a nihilist or nihilist, depending how you want to say it, a nihilist and a socialist and a neo-Marxist walk into a bar. And the bartender says, sorry, guys, you got to be 21 to come in here.
I don't get it.
I'm not getting it. You have to be 21.
Yeah. Only young people are stupid enough to be Marxists and socialists.
There you go. There you go. That's the best joke I've heard. I sadly had to explain it, but that. You say millennial?
Wow. Wow.
Anyway.
Wow. We're not talking about young homeschool moms.
Not even homeschool kids. But, well, you know, sometimes you get depressed about young people. I remember Ronald Reagan. He said, if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative at 40, you have no brain.
That's good.
Yeah.
He also said insanity is contagious. You get it from your kids.
I agree.
Anyway,
that Reagan.
Busy guy, that Ronald Reagan.
Has his gray hair, right?
Do you make up your own jokes, Andrew? Any of them?
No, I have on occasion made up a joke, but it's not really, it doesn't necessarily qualify to be one worth retelling. Okay. So, but there's no new jokes.
Well,
there's
sure.
only new
There's nothing
people.
New under the sun, right?
That's what Garrison Keillor said. There's no new jokes.
But you made up a new word, so you can make up a new joke. I mean, if you made up the word freedom ship, I think we should start a petition to get that in the dictionary.
Okay.
I'm with you.
And I feel like there are new jokes. I taught preschool for a while, and you put those kids around a circle table with a snack.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole lot of new jokes made up. None of them make sense, but they're there.
Okay. Well, I'll give you that.
Okay. Garrett's favorite joke. Are you ready?
Okay, ready. Yeah.
I think you've heard this, Andrew. What do you call a giant pile of kittens? A meountain. What do you call a giant pile of dead kittens? A catastrophe.
That's hilarious. Okay, you're Andrew, welcome. This is it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How do you make, this is an oldie, but it's a classic and it's the only joke I can ever remember. So please laugh for my sake. How do you make a Kleenex dance?
I don't know how.
You put a little boogie in it.
Yeah, that would be a definite little kid joke.
I still have young worms at home. So.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
There it is. Who asked for the jokes? We just gave them to you, Rachel.
Yep.
Well, it would be Rachel. There you go. There's your joke curriculum. But look, watch Andrew for more coming.
Actually, if you go to Facebook Institute for Excellence in Writing, our Facebook page, go to video, and there's three videos, 30 minutes of jokes, 20 more minutes of jokes, and 20 more minutes of jokes.
Really?
I did. Are they for kids? Like, watch with the kids? Or are they more...
Yes, definitely. I mean, some of them are going to be a little bit over the head of some of the kids.
Right.
But I did three Wednesdays over the last couple months, just, you know, something to encourage people, give them a little break.
Yeah.
And
something to talk about other than COVID-19.
Yeah. And I didn't repeat a single joke. I kept them organized. So they're all
That's
different.
Impressive.
Yeah. And it's just me standing there telling jokes for 20 minutes. So
oh my
you can
God.
Take
That's
a look at that if you want more.
My father-in-law has been diagnosed with and is dealing with dementia. And something that is fascinating about it is two things. One, his love for the Lord has never left. It's just grown stronger, which just shows that that's the Holy Spirit. It's not in your head. It's in our heart. Mm. But the man can forget anything, but he can't forget a joke. He knows every joke and he rattles them off and they're hilarious. And I think sometimes my mother-in-law is like, could he forget the jokes, please? Could that be one thing he forgets? But he doesn't. So we'll have to, I'll have to send him your videos, Andrew.
That's funny.
Please feel free.
So cool. Well, thank you, Andrew, so much for your time today. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for all that you do with IEW. Thank you for supporting Schoolhouse Rock. You guys have been just huge proponents and supporters of what we've done, both, you know, financially and you've really helped us to get the word out about the movie. And thank you for being part of it. So continue to pray for us, you guys, as we are pulling this movie together. We are I say we're working hard. And when I say that, I actually mean Garrett is working around the clock, it seems, to get this movie together. Last night, he actually, we got home. The girls and I had been out for a little while, and we got home and he said, you got to come watch this. And he had, I know this sounds so small in comparison to the entire movie. He has bits and pieces of the whole movie together. But he got the first, like the intro to the movie, done, a rough cut of the actual intro to the movie. And it was so good. I'm so excited about it. And so it was the first time I was like, oh, this is how it's going to start. So we have the beginning of the movie, we have the end of the movie, and then we've got some pieces in the middle. And so he's still pulling it all together. So it's very exciting. But yes, please pray for him as he continues working on that. So, all right. Well, thank you guys. Have a fantastic rest of your day. And until next time, we'll see you back here next week. Bye-bye.